This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly Meeting, February 25th, 2010.
This is going to be like a ridiculous meeting.
Why don't we have... Now we do it.
I don't think... I mean, if they can...
All right. It's now 4:45. We're going to get the meeting started. Will the SA reps please take their seats? And whenever you're ready, you can call it, Britt.
Unexcused. He's here, yeah. He's here.
Here?
Who?
He doesn't count.
I don't think he's coming.
He's Danza. Here.
Yeah. Guys, come on.
Here.
Excuse.
Here.
Unexcused. Excuse.
Where is it?
Yes.
Here.
Here.
All right, excuse. All right, thank you.
Okay, now we'll move on to approval of the minutes. We have two meeting minutes to approve, one from February 18th and another from February 11th. So if you've had a chance to look at them and if you want to make any corrections or motions, please do say so now. Representative DeSantis. There's been a call for acclamation. There's been a second. Is there any dissent? All right, seeing none, the minutes have now been approved. Now I'd like to just remind you all that despite the fact that the H1N1 scare has subsided because of the cold weather, you know, it weakens your immune system and you're still largely at risk of getting sick. So I'd like to remind you all to please wash your hands constantly. And even though I like to be called Batman, I'm still not immune to this and it affects me as well. Office hours are, I think, by Representative Welch. And if she can sign up, or they're optional, if you can pass them around and sign up for when you'd like to be available in the upcoming week. They're in Live Cafe from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. throughout the week. Whenever you're available, sign up. And now we have a Relay for Life announcement by Representative Gillen. Yeah, and you obviously don't have to be there the entire time. Anytime you can come to show up, that would be great.
That's true.
Yeah. Now we have an update from community member Ray Mensah.
I was going to speak briefly one that access to different resources of advertising, we should even have access to right as a new person on campus. So even if you guys do that, I don't know where you are, but I really like that. And that's just our organization. But not, I appreciate it that you would email that information to me. And that idea is R-A-N-429. That's it.
No.
Hope to see you guys here. I would also like to now give a brief update on the external program house. And you focus on that just for the last night. Along with about three other students, three or four other students, I am a member of the internal program house. The meeting for about past 2 months.
Does anyone have any questions for community member Mensah? VPN.
What was the date again for the president of
Puerto Rico?
March 8th.
For those people on our Facebook team, should have received an invite for that event. So if you log back in tonight, search for it. Please invite your email friends to the organization to that event. It was really fun.
Thank you, Ray, and thank you to you and the College Republicans for bringing such a high-profile speaker and for the excellent discussion last night. I hope it was productive. Next up is the University Librarian, Ann Kenny. Thank you for coming today and offering to talk to us about any initiatives with the campus libraries.
Responsible.
building collection to initiate a planning process to explore the consolidation of some unit libraries, to proceed with the design of a plan for an appropriately integrated budget managed by university libraries, continue to pursue shared collections and services with other entities, review programs and services with an eye toward shifting resources for collections, and then participate in CIP and the academic computing. So protecting access to collections is a really key thing for us. As your resolution on open access points out, the costs of scholarly publishing, particularly through commercial publishers, have skyrocketed, increases on the order of 8 to 15% per year, where our collection budget has only increased at 5%. So not only are we able to, unable to keep pace with the collections that we built a decade ago, we're losing ground to our peers. So, for instance, 6 years ago, the gap between Cornell and Columbia was 35,000. Last year, it was 8 million that increased. So, at such a tremendous amount. 6 years ago, Harvard University spent 11.5 million more than we did in the collection building. Last year, it was almost 17 million. So, there's a real concern here. 10 years ago, we were able to acquire access to over 1,000 journals in physics and chemistry. Last year, it was down to 400. So there's a significant concern around collecting, preserving access to the resources you already have. And so we're reorienting the rest of the library campaign toward collection building. We are really focusing on the importance of open access. The provost and I had a joint fund to encourage faculty and graduate students and undergraduates who are publishing to look at going with open access publishing rather than with the LPJs of the world. And I hope that in your resolution you would acknowledge that fund and also have the university library figured in as one of the contributors of the message itself. We are one of seven institutions across the country that are in contact on open access. So Cornell, Harvard, MIT, Berkeley, Ottawa, Columbia are all together in that process. We have also, as you may know, sold the Duke Stated Collection of accounts in Europe to China. We received $895,000 for that collection, and that money is going back into our collection fund. I checked with all of our peers in the Ivy. No one, with the exception of Columbia, maintains a dissipated collection. Harvard, in fact, several years ago, gave away the collection to have 10 libraries in China. We are also looking at how we can join forces with Columbia to expand our access to resources. The unit library review has been a certainly understand that when I became the University of Library and I did that, I will be looking at such cuts. Last year, the Physical Science Library closed and moved to a virtual physical science library and moved to a little bit of law resources back into building access to scholarly materials. There are reviews that are underway right now by the respective deans in entomology, vets, engineering, and hotel business and dialogue. The recommendations that come out of those reviews will be vetted by faculty and students. They will come to both the dean and to me, and then we'll bring it to the faculty board. And I have a student library advisory council that will also be involved in it. I welcome the opportunity to engage with other student groups, so for instance, women in engineering or the business in engineering. You know, other things we're trying to do in terms of providing better access to collections is enhancing borrow direct. We're going to extend the loan time for the use of those materials, and we're putting out an invitation to join us this coming year. versus converting those funds to support collection. What about technology workshops? What about libraries and library delivery and returns? Tough choices are to be made. So I think we're at a fork in the road for the library. To be able to maintain excellence, we have to change some of the ways we do things. We recommend equally, I think, the faculty and students and the parents and the welcome to questions.
All right. Thank you. First up is Vicky Kumar.
First of all, thank you very much for coming and braving the elements to be here. I know we had a PowerPoint that I didn't follow up, so I'm sorry about that. But I know if you have a PowerPoint, you know, feel free to email it to me. I can pass it around our listserv. I saw an interview you had with the Cornell Chronicle this morning, and I just wanted to follow up on one of the questions they had asked, which is how some of the strategic planning for the library sort of is integrated with or would be affected by how the university changes its budget model. You know, if it centralizes the budget model, you know, obviously there's differences in flow of cash. So if you could just sort of speak about how, you know, if they integrate the budget model and sort of centralize it, how that would affect undergraduate student experience.
That's a good question. I wish I could tell you the answer. My goal in looking at the consolidated budget is we are, along with the respective schools, are in the sort of direct support units, not considered support units. And so a lot of expenses that have been covered by the provost, such as heat and light and space, will now come to the library as a budgeted expense. We will be working closely with the deans where library facilities are within their domain. Basically, the only library facilities we manage on our own are older areas, property, and the library has. So who's going to pay for the rent? Who's going to pay for keeping them open later? All of that will be revealed in time. I think it is a wise thing that they're waiting until the fiscal year 2012 to really move. I do know there are concerns about some of the deans who have managed their own library resources about having that controlled by the university library. The state side has been the bigger, all of the endowments are managed by me. But I can tell you, in the times of real tough times in the state, their collections budget had only increased 3%, where on the endowed side it increased 21%. So I think there are some positive benefits to looking at emergency budget. For students, I think the impact, the voice of other constituents is very strong, and it is important, you know, for the library that it represents students. So extended hours in Europe, I'm not taking that off the table. I think that that's a critical thing. We have over 200 students an hour between 2 in the morning and 8 in the morning come to Holland, that's in the year to work. To me, that's a win-win. I mean, why would I cut that? But, you know, so I do need to balance those interests. Having voices expressed by students, if you've got ideas about ways to funnel your concerns to the student library advisory council or another way, I'm really open to hearing.
Thank you. VP of
Oh, no, I didn't have a question about that. Oh. I'm sorry. Vince has
questions. Representative Andrews.
He's Representative Andrews. Rock.
Hi, thank you. I guess, yeah, my question relates to the hours. Is there any direct impact that has anything been decided about university hours, library hours, are going to be cut at all? Or is that still in the works?
With the exception of looking at potential for consolidating community libraries, depending on the last couple of years with those libraries that are you know, you guys are nocturnal creatures. And graduate students are diurnal creatures, so they want to open up earlier in the morning. I understand the need to have them stay open late at night. That would be something I would try to do.
From Senator
Brown. By the way, I do have to say that with all of the
Thank you again for coming. I have a question because earlier in the semester I had to return a book because it was being sold and shipped off to China. I was wondering how widespread was that and how many books were lost?
That's part of the collection that is duplicated or triplicated or held in multiple copies. I think there was a little bit of mismanagement around the process of waiting until, you know, I would have preferred those to be taken out to wait until the end of the spring semester for shipment. But the entire collection that they had the duplicated elements was sold to China. Where we need multiple copies for classroom use, say users and things, we'll have multiple copies. But when I have to make tough choices, I would go with having more unique titles than fewer titles with multiple copies.
Do you have any idea what number of books were sold to China?
Yes, I do. It's upwards to 95,000. Our collection is almost 8 million dollars.
Observe that.
By the way, all the IUs are investing themselves in the duplicated collection, and they kept saying, why did you find a buyer?
Yeah.
Thank you very much for coming. I was wondering, in regards to some of the smaller, more specialized libraries,
yeah.
The IHOP libraries, hotel libraries, what do you see happening in those libraries? Do you see them consolidating, or do you see them remaining as specialized libraries within those schools in the long run?
Okay. The ones that I talked about are the only ones that are under review right now. Although I remain concerned about the environmental protection and controls in the fine arts libraries, for me is well aware of my concerns. In terms of, let's talk about business, ILR, and hotels. The deans and I are launching a joint investigation for those three to look at synergies. You know, I suspect there'll always be a footprint in each of those locales, but to what extent does it need to be a full service library? Do physical collections really need to be guided there, or is there some possibility for a co-location of those, say in our bar, which has larger steps? Can we share management overhead associated with those libraries? The investigation that's being launched will have student representation and faculty representation as well as library staff. And every month of the review, we will be meeting the dean and I will be meeting with them to ensure that there's a course of investigation.
That's
yeah, thank you for coming. I have two questions. The first was about the suggestion of not taking the hours of years. And I this is like a thought that a bunch of students have floated by me in the past year. So how feasible would it be to limit some of the hours of some of the other libraries or to make one library open 24/7 during the weekend as well? So extend hours of years even more, like what would the cost ramification of that be? And the second was, I had a conversation yesterday with, I don't want to describe it, Joseph Bristow, he's the Dean of Finance at ILR, and he was worried about with the new undergraduate system of finance with the pooling for all the colleges into one, some of the smaller colleges, especially the ones that put a lot more money into their libraries, like engineering and ILR, that they wouldn't receive the same amount of funding once pooling was put into an overall group. Do you think that the economic decision of the new model of the university would affect like the individual libraries in any way?
So before you answer, I know it was very similar to VP Kumar's question, so if you want to elaborate a little more on the second question you made, but I think the first question about having some space on campus at least open 24/7 is something you should discuss. Thank you.
Okay. On the 24/5, you know, we're good to go on that. Whether we go to 24/7 in that space will really depend upon other tough choices we can make. Will those respective other libraries give extended hours in their space so that there's a space for 24/7 all across in one library. Part of it is an economic issue, but a lot of it is going to be a political issue. So ILR is not there. Are they going to want to give up some of their support in their schools to extend your library hours? If we look to having fewer libraries on campus, so let's imagine that I'm just imagining this, that the engineering library becomes more a space that's devoted to individual study and computer access, rather than a full service having all of the physical items there. You know, maybe look at extending hours is less costly in that kind of environment than in a full service library. It doesn't do me much good to reduce the physical footprint but still maintain it because I'm going to have a full staff still associated. So there are trade-offs. And the trade-offs are not common. You know, another thing is to look at having fewer hours during the intersessions. But then that takes into the graduate students. All of these things are made about the we went to 24/7 because there was such a united expression of interest on the part of students that came out all the time. And actually, in the last 10 years, we've not only done that, but we've left a number of the libraries open until 2 in the morning and opened them all the time.
Do you think there would be anything the student assembly can do to lead, you know, students' opinion about possibly having some sort of space, not necessarily for renting out books, but even, you know, like a computer space like they do in yours from, you know, like you said, between the hours of 2 to 8, anything like that to sort of encourage the university to enact this policy of having that 24-hour space? We have the two presidential hopefuls sitting with us today, so hopefully they'll be able to carry this on. The last question goes to Representative Smith.
Thank you. they do have choices. How convincing can we be the time of retrenchment? But he also knows that I have to balance the light of the materials that are there in a really uncomfortable environment, the proximity of the school and the students being there. I recognize how libraries are often crossroads between disciplinary cultures, and that's an incredibly valuable one. It's also one of those libraries where the physical items, the visual materials, will remain quite critical for many years. So, I think this is a
watch
this thing. We're on the same side. All right. Can I tell you all
the good news of the library? Well, thank you very much again for offering to speak with us, and hopefully we'll be able to give you recommendations for the future.
I
hope you get a special. Now we'll move on to Now we'll move on to open microphone. If anyone in the audience wishes to address the SA on an issue currently not on the agenda, please step forward now. Okay, we'll go to and Ace is moving. I was gonna call. Yeah, okay, go ahead. It doesn't matter. It's cool. Yeah.
Regarding the trustee meeting in March. So if you have not responded or RSVP, which you would be coming to dinner, please do so. I can resend Frank's email out over the listeners if you guys could do that. It's good. We need the numbers by tomorrow, but all of you should be there. So we're trying to get more students involved. So this is something that Mike and I have been working on. And additionally, there are some other meetings where we should be trying to get some students involved. So that is happening just as undergraduates. But please,
if you just want to know
that out.
Okay, any questions for Trustee Craig? Okay. If you're free then, it's March 11th, I believe, is the dinner. Please try to... Yeah, yeah. We'll probably be ending the essay meeting a bit early so all of us can make it. We have an AAP update from President Smith.
Big congratulations to AAP. We got the GoPro Digital Art Show that will help to broadcast students' work within the gallery or in the dome. And they're strategically placed also in JV and non-brand that are around the city. Primarily the gallery, so actually I was touched on that. But big news is probably that last Thursday, the Young Student Council met and the dean agreed to meet with or to hold an information session for the students, for all the AAP students and anybody else who's interested to come out and learn about the vision of the design school and where that concept came from and answer any questions or concerns that students might have. I haven't talked to students who would come to an SAE just yet, but if somebody would like to help with that and everything, it would be wonderful to provide information to that information.
Any questions for Representative Smith? All right, congratulations on your plasma series. North Hampton garbage can update by Representative Smith.
Operation receptacles in the past few months, but alas, as of next week when this snowstorm is cleared, there's going to be a few more garbage cans on North Campus. So it's probably the issue that freshmen were most vocal about, and Romeo and I proposed a resolution a couple months back during first semester, and we're happy that it was approved.
Any questions for us? Okay, we have a Jeremic update. We'd be cool.
So the first meeting of the Joint Assembly's Multicultural Issues Committee will be next Monday. I'm not sure about the time yet, but I'll email it out throughout the listserv. There's a couple of agenda items, but if you want anything to be discussed, please let me know.
Perfect. We have a dining committee update by D.C. Lazar.
All right, this is both Ivy Council and Dining. So as some of you guys know, we have the Ivy Leadership Summit this weekend at Yale. Snow's not the most promising, but I think a couple of us are still going to get out there. So I'll give you guys an update on that when we get back, maybe next Thursday. As far as dining goes, we met this past Tuesday at Moosewood. It was a great meal for those of you that could come. And a couple updates on that. We met with the director of information technology for Campus Life, Don TV. I don't know if some of you guys know him, and he was looking into some ways to improve Cornell Dining, get the word out there, maybe sending SMS text messages to people, so about certain specials and stuff that might be on different dining halls if you sign up for it. So if you guys have some ideas, we're going to be meeting with him at the next meeting. He's also coming to the Campus Life Student Advisory meeting, I believe, next Friday. That is. Also, if you had noticed, on Monday, Rusty's Cafe in Uris Hall opened. The name is a product of both the dining committee and as well as Gail Finan, and pretty exciting to get over there. They're serving Starbucks coffee. It's a pretty significant investment that they made, and most of the ideas came from our dining committee. So you guys can see something tangible that we've done. All right. If you have any questions, just let me know. Yeah.
Do you guys have any early information on how it's doing, the new campaign rolling?
It's already surpassed their expectations for the first few days.
Ooh.
So, yeah, the hours, I believe, are 9 to 3, and I think they're already starting to consider keeping it open later just because of the amount of traffic that they've gotten. Something like 300 transactions or so a day so far, and most people don't even know about it. It's just people walking by have seen it. I know John actually texted me the other day and said that the line was just out the door. He couldn't get coffee, so something pretty good.
I've gone 3 times now. And this is the first time I actually waited in the line for coffee. So it's 10
people. Okay.
All right.
Any other questions? Okay. Moving on, PBU isn't here yet, so we'll wait for her before we give the website presentation. Also about Resolution 46, I'm going to table that indefinitely because we had a meeting planned with VP Susan Murphy today, but we had to cancel it because of the inclement weather. So we'd like to talk to a few more administrators as well as the registrar's office so we have some more backing before we present it. We'll skip to Resolution 49, the new group application review committee by VP.
But it's on the numbers today.
I guess this committee is the result of Captain Holmes and Community Development coming to the student assembly with an issue between student groups on campus, and she wants the aid of the student assembly in determining the resolution to the conflict between the few dancers, salted dancers, where there are three salted, there are currently three salted dance groups, the fourth salted dance group is trying to come on campus, and the three current salted dance groups say that the fourth salted dance group actually isn't a legitimate group, that the professor trying to start out his own, and that they're worried about about diluting the population of these ones with all the chances. But all these issues need to be addressed, and so instead of having just one administrator or two administrators in the student office making the final decision, students really should be involved. So this year, this is an ad hoc committee. So it's literally just a committee that's formed just a student committee office in this one endeavor. I'm not really kind of a lot of stuff that's special for the evening semester. So the goal here is to create a new committee, but it's just to create a non-permanent committee really dedicated on Captain Holmes on this one issue. So if you guys have any questions, please.
All right. Representative.
Yeah.
correctly, this is needed because what we had earlier, I believe it was last semester, isn't going into effect yet, because it's essentially trying to set up something before that goes into effect, but essentially here this one situation.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, I mean, there's definitely a connection. I mean, if we would have passed a resolution that we passed, I think you just know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, last semester.
We would have used that committee, but this ad hoc committee has, you know, it's purely advisory for Captain Holmes to have any, not going to be final decision, just advisory.
For Bev Rapp. Rob Rapp, sorry.
My question was, I guess, sort of to and just asking, is there like a judicial group on campus that does stuff like this? But would federal just be using different groups on campus, or is it just going to be something that they should do?
There isn't currently a judicial group on campus. However, the university ombudsman is there to mediate conflicts between organizations, students, or anything along that line. So there is a root for it in conflict situations, but specifically in the one that he can't be instructing, I don't believe there is a structure in place.
So no, that's the thing. So this it's not a conflict between groups as of yet because it's still pending review. One the group that wants to come on campus is not currently grouped. It's still pending review. And one of the requirements for a registered student organization is that there are students who are registering it. And so the current groups on campus are claiming that it's not students who are registering the organization. And so the Captain Holmes came to the student assembly because she wants student input on how to proceed because she doesn't want to make a decision if students aren't actually the ones presenting the putting forth this committee, then she doesn't want to be seen as an administrator just stopping the group from coming from campus, coming up the campus. So she wants just an advisory body to help her see the situation.
Parliamentary vote.
Just regarding the wording of the resolution, I was wondering if in the first year therefore results, towards the last, you meant to say between organizations as it deems necessary, or whether or not the wording was as you intended it.
As it deems necessary.
Representative Desai.
Yeah, just a question. So, in that first key, therefore, is all clause, which is having two assistants, blah, 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 the current conflict between organizations as it deems necessary. So, do you need to expand or like just give us a little bit of information on what exactly they've been doing? So I guess, you know, it doesn't say whether you mentioned the new groups that are coming on, are they going to be helping the SAO with current groups at all? Or just like how are they going to be advising them? Be in a room to talk about it, or is there like a formal procedure or anything set forth? Like I just, if you gotta do it, it'll look like that.
Yeah, I mean what I did want to that's the thing, I mean I could have included language from the organizational review committee that's working on the campus call, but I didn't want this to seem as if I was trying to represent that to start the semester. That's not the goal here. So we don't have a framework set up. The university doesn't have a framework set up. So that's why I guess we would be, this ad hoc committee would help, create a framework, see what was said. I guess I could have tried to outline and say we will hold first a hearing with the groups, then we'll hold a hearing with the three groups who are disputing the action, then we'll deliberate at the body and produce a report. But this is an ad hoc committee, instead of advisory, we're not making any final decisions. Don't give me about the Captain Holmes final decision.
There's no one else on the speaker list, so if anyone has... Yep, there's been a call to question, and there's been a second. Is there any dissent? All right, Brittany, please call them.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
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 All right, by a vote of 16-0, the resolution passes.
All right, so if you want to help me with this, I'll send you out with members. Just come up to me.
And Brittany, if you can please change the date that the resolution was presented on, so let's say 2/10/2010, that way. And yeah, add the as before it deems necessary in the first year, therefore is also. All right, thanks. Resolution 34, the amendments to Resolution 34. No, before that, actually, we have a snow day proposal from BP Diesel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Central Body Resolution.
I'd like to propose that the Assembly recommends to President Court and Administration that we have a snow day tomorrow in light of current weather conditions. Is there a second?
Yeah. Look at that. Okay.
Call for acclamation.
It's been a call for acclamation. The second is there any dissent? All right. Wait, the resolution passes, and it will be for great. Yeah, now we'll move on to the amendment to Resolution 34, clarification of at-large seats by Representative Danza. Keep in mind that this resolution was already presented and passed, but President Scorton wanted the wording to be changed a bit before he took it.
Alright, so this is basically nearly identical to what we had nearly unanimously, I believe it was last night.
Yeah.
Basically, President Scorton told us that he wanted us to make it clear that the seats that we were designating as two minority, one international and one LGBTQ representatives, were the were to be representing underrepresented communities. Basically, so I added the line that says that four at-large seats are to be reserved for candidates seeking to represent constituent groups of students determined to be underrepresented, and that two of which shall represent minority students, one of which shall represent international students, and one of which shall represent lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer communities. So this is basically just words to make it clear that these are that we deem these underrepresented communities. If there's no substantive change as far as what the amendment did when we passed earlier.
Questions, comments, or motions? Does Doug Smith? Oh, wait, before, Parker's hearing.
I am speaking more than I probably should. And on your resolution, the first part of it notes that four at-large seats are basically reserved for the termination of the essay. And the second part of your resolution says, actually, instead of having the essay have the ability to determine these, two of them will be automatically set for international and LGBTQ. In which case, what you probably should want to do is change it to say there's going to be four at-large seats for minorities, two of which will be left to the discretion of the essay, and two of which will be determined to be the two constituents that you identify.
Can you point me in the first section what you're talking about?
So it says four at-large seats, and then it says group of students determined to be underrepresented. That wording, in my opinion, implies that there's a choice, essentially each election cycle, to determine what those seats are. Whereas the second part says, no, there isn't the determination to which seats are already set.
So isn't that taken care of by the words of which? So two of which are represented, one of which, and one of which?
No.
So how do you recommend that change the word right now?
Then they just have
shrink. Well, you can think about it until we move on.
Yeah, we can take more questions and then we come back.
What is the right after the vote? It says, four shall be elected by and from the two of the fall.
Question?
the three freshmen on the transcript.
Gotcha.
Okay. What do you
think? So for this resolution, I think to clarify the four students that represent underrepresented students. Now, the other resolution appears much more vague than the other two. So I'm just wondering if that ambiguity kind of leaves a little bit of wiggle room for maybe another group that is deemed underrepresented, and we wanted to give them a seat. So is this necessarily better for clarifying?
So I think the point of this is if the students are really deemed that, say there was another group on campus that we started seeing underrepresented, whatever it may be, then by a two-third vote, we could include another seat for them. I think the purpose of this amendment to the charter is that under the current wording, it says that they're supposed to be allocated, but we don't actually know where that allocation took place, when that allocation took place. And as far as I know, all it would take would be a majority vote to get rid of the two minorities, the international speaking of LGBTQ, if someone were to just have an epiphany and say, well, I want to get rid of the seat. If we amend it, it would take at least a two-thirds vote of the assembly to get rid of these seats, and would also take a two-thirds vote in that case to add a seat, which I think is beneficial. We shouldn't be able to simply just walk out and represent a community and like whatever we need to need.
Just the change is that it reads, four at-large seats are to be reserved for candidates seeking to represent underrepresented constituencies, an idea period, and then new sentence, two of which shall represent minority students, of which,
Okay.
We can vote on that?
Yeah, we still have to vote on this amendment. So is everyone clear on what Parliamentarian Cohen suggested? Yeah. So four at-large seats are to be reserved for candidates seeking to represent underrepresented constituencies, period. Or should we put colon?
Yeah.
Two of which shall represent minorities, and yeah, the same wording after that. Would it become?
Colon.
So, are there any motions? There's been a call to questions or a second?
Motion to hand vote?
Yeah, let's take a hand vote. Everyone in favor of this amendment, please raise your hand. All those against or any abstentions? Okay, so that amendment is now in place, and if anyone wants to make any motions for the resolution, they can do so. Okay. Oh, we can come on.
So even with these clarifications, because I know this was sent back from President Swern, just to clarify, so you believe?
So I spoke to the Vice President Murphy, and I basically sent for the changes that I made here, minus what we just changed is almost like a superficial thing, and she said that that would seem much more acceptable, but she would have that as the President.
Okay.
I imagine that means that it's much more likely to be signed.
Sure. Alright, so. Alright, great. So with that, I'll call the question.
Second.
So the call to questions, the second.
Call proclamation.
We can't put it in the chart, yeah. So, call it for me. Nope. Charter.
Yes.
Yes.
Andrew?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. And if the date on top of this resolution can be changed as well. I guess we can have the website presentation now. My man Chuck, can you step up? Be ready. Yeah, unfortunately we couldn't have a projector today, but I do have my laptop and I'd be willing to pass around if anyone else has a laptop. You can follow the website. It's cornellsa.com. And, yeah, you can go ahead. And you can start whenever you're ready, Chuck.
Hello, Student Assembly. Me and CBU have been working on a new website for the Cornell Student Assembly. And the URL, if you want to bring it up on your laptop, is cornellsa.com. So feel free to pull that up on the screen. It's a real letdown, but I don't have a projector.
I'm sorry. But I think if you can turn the laptop around so we can kind of maybe get an idea.
I mean, it's pretty hard to see from here.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, but if you can just take us through. I know there are a few broken links and a few things that need to be worked out, but if everyone could take a look and any suggestions that you want to make, you can make. Go ahead, you can.
Okay, yeah. Well, the backend for this website is the Joomla content management system in PHP. It is running on a Linux server hosted by GoDaddy.com. Basically, we're still working on the content, but Randy's ambitious goal for this project was that it should replace every student's homepage.
Well, it's the collective goal of the essay along with BB Andrews.
Like right. Yeah. It is the collective goal. Okay, so if you notice on the website, we have a newsflash at the top with the housing water. We have a toolbar. We have some quick links on the side, some articles in the center, a poll about the student test, some social networking stuff because everyone wants the Facebook Cornell Student Assembly. Poll number two, and a calendar for organizing chronological sort of issues. Okay, so click the about link. Notice that there's a drop-down menu with the history, structure, and charter. Unfortunately, these pages haven't been written yet. Well, I take that back. They haven't. BB was actually on the ball here. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. So anyhow, Meteor Rex is another one of Randy's brainchilds here. We just finished the architecture and planning link, but
yeah.
Some reason it vanished.
Oh, no, okay. I think that you can bring it up.
IOP's not there either.
Found
there?
thank you.
Alright, yeah. Just continue. If you want to use the example of Representative Smith, since he sent the bios in. That's why I asked everyone to please send your bios. There are still many of you who haven't sent them in. And, yeah, no, we're going to use your profile as an example of what we hope that it would look like. We want to list everyone's candidate statement and a brief bio about them, their background. So please, whenever you get a chance, send those in and we can put them on the site.
Yeah, definitely send those in so we can get those up as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So if you click on AAP, Architectural Arts Planning, you'll notice that there's already a sample bio of Lee Smith.
That's him.
There he is. And if you want to reach up there, just send it to us and we'll put it up there. Get involved. We're going to have our newsletter posted up here. We also have plans of having a WordPress blog.
Well, we already have the blog, so VP Andrews started. So I think, would it be possible, I guess, to have that integrated with this website?
Yeah, very easy.
Yeah, yeah, great.
Sure.
And Phoebe is here too now. She'll join you in your presentation.
All right. Well, since I'm tired of talking, I'm going to have you play me on TV.
Great. All right, is there anything else you want to add? Or?
So it's actually a lot more easier to navigate. You got it before, and you can override everything that's going on right in front of you. That was a discussion board on the website, and it's really easy to update, so basically anyone can do it. Big change in the last time. There's a lot of little features like polls and calendar functions,
yeah.
And it's all really easy to do. So we basically set the foundation for whoever's going to teach from last semester, or if you're going to plug you guys have to ask them, you can do that really easily.
Great. All right, and thank you again for your tireless efforts. I know we spent a lot of hours and Saturday afternoons working on this. So hopefully, you know, we can implement the rest of the changes that we see, and maybe it will fulfill our goal someday of having every Cornell student put this as their homepage.
Great.
Oh, yeah, sure, why not? Trustee Craig had a comment to make. Yeah, I think a lot of the documents that will be on the website will be linked back to the assembly's website. VP Kumar.
Just a quick question for the SIC. So I know over the last semester you guys tried to partner with a lot of the different essay committees for the projects you guys were working on. So like, what kind of projects are you working on, and how have you been partnering with the existing essay committees?
One of them is the sustainability challenge that will also coincide with Earth Day in April. So we'll be talking to the Environmental Committee as well as Sustainability and Cornell. There are a lot of other people working on the SCAD and the center, who are also bringing things together. I believe this is the first conversation going on with CIT. After approaching CIT, they told us they wanted
to use the liaison to the students in the survey to get feedback. Okay. And who are you talking with on the CIT committee?
Matt Horn.
Okay. Very good.
Representative Robert. Use the mic.
I'm the chair of the Environmental
Committee,
and I'll talk to the
committee. Great.
All right. Any other questions, comments, suggestions for the website? If you think of any, in the meantime, please email me, Vince, or I'll give you Chuck and Phoebe's email. I just need to go out. Thank you very much for your work. Thank you for coming. All right. Resolution 50. There was a word change here. I guess it wasn't relayed in the agenda. It's now requesting deans to speak at SA meetings. It's not required.
Great. So we'll give the response to the resolution 2 minutes, and then we'll open up for questions.
Okay. Well, initially, this is pending resolution 43. But essentially, what it does is it asks the dean, well, there was a letter attached to this, too, but it's not ready. But it asks the dean to they think just to give information on all the initiatives that they're taking, because of the fact that we had in the past year and the offer a lot more information, and the president himself and his office is going to be a lot more involved in the city. So it's only fitting that it be involved in, because I think they're more directly responsible to the students, and it also helps for it.
I'm sorry, what?
The letter. So I think that's last week. I think the letter is the last week.
Okay.
But that letter will be forwarded along with the resolution to all the college students. And I really encourage all of the college reps as part of Resolution 43 and the to go and encourage everyone to speak at an SA meeting.
Great. All right, so we'll open up for questions. First up is VP Basil.
So I guess, first of all, in the final, be it finally resolved clause,
you should have an amendment here to specify that it's 7 undergraduate deans, because there are more graduate deans. Otherwise, I don't even know why we're passing this resolution in the first place, because in that finally resolved clause, you know, you say that we need to have this resolution, then we're also going to write a letter to the dean asking them to come, so why don't we just write the letter and skip the resolution?
If it's from the assembly, it's a point of information.
I guess my question goes back to the point. I mean, have we ever been turned down when we've asked the dean or anyone to speak? You know, if we go politely and we approach someone and ask them to come.
Have you met Marty?
Sorry?
Have you met Marty?
I mean, then do you want to amend this resolution to make it specifically for the AAP dean?
No, because I think this should apply to all deans.
But this isn't applying all deans. All we're doing in this resolution is asking them to come. So would you want to amend it to mandate that the AAP dean come to talk to us?
That's why I'm going to change the wording of the resolution. First, we're going to start off with a request, and then, you know, maybe if we see this succeeding and, you know, the deans coming and having a fruitful discussion like these applies, then we can maybe talk about adding it to the charter, similar to the process we have for the president of the university to come, should we have any questions about that we think we're taking to their causes. And about targeting the dean, I feel like it might leave them in an awkward position, maybe just introduce it as something we want, we expect of all deans to do, then they'd be more willing to do it. Introducing it in a resolution format, I think that's not really necessary, but it's just formal.
Look, I mean, I guess sort of to conclude, at the end of the day, it's the dean's job to come here and address students, whether it's at the student assembly, whether it's their own constituents. This is what they should be doing as deans. If they're saying no to you, Ulysses, or to anyone else, that's preposterous. And I mean, I think that comes to us as an executive board to say, you should be here, and you should not say no to this offer. I mean, if what it's going to take is a resolution, then fine, but, you know, again, I think that all it should take is just an email and a polite request.
Thank you. Just to clarify, this is on new business, so we'll be just taking questions right now. Alright, there's a move. Okay, yeah. Alright. So it's the business of the day. Next on the speaker's list. Oh,
just, I don't think this is, you know, a big amendment, just a semantic
thing of adding undergraduate as well as the. Yeah, and there's no other change aside from changing required to request, right? In the title?
Yeah, and again,
Was it an email that or were it two grads?
It was last week's agenda, but I
heard. Okay. Was it an email? Never mind. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You have checked? Okay. Next on the speaker list is Representative Brockman.
Yeah, I think this is a great resolution. I think because it's going to be signed by the student assembly, because it's a resolution, it'll add an extra emphasis that we need to get the deans to come here, and especially with the reimagining Cornell, supporting that student assembly, making deans more transparent, that we could get as much information as we can. So, let's vote on it.
Thanks. Next up is Representative Lucia.
I just want to echo what Major said. I just want to ask, if this gets passed, what's to make them stay here and actually talk about something meaningful? Why can't they just sit in that chair and say, everything's going great, goodbye, we'll walk out? They just say they have to give us some update on how things are going. I just say things are going well.
Yeah, if they were to do that, I'm not sure to death that they would have been leaving as a college girl.
Yeah, but if they don't want to come in the first place,
if they were to come because of the reimagining Cornell initiative and the budget cuts being made, they're going to have something.
Then why wouldn't AAP come?
No, this is formalizing it to encourage them to come. Like you said, so that the students as a whole wanting them to come, and not just the AAP.
Well, I mean, if you are the representative,
and if
the
deans aren't aware of that, maybe
they can. Great. Next up is Representative Rao.
Great.
It's
been a call to question. Is there a second? Alright, there's a second. Please call the roll.
If we can get...
oh, I'm sorry, 2 minutes to close.
No, and also,
oh, yeah. Oh, okay, alright. Does everybody in the community have... I can't believe... Alright. Everybody have these cards in the community? Okay, great. So you get 2 minutes to close, and then we'll ask you.
Well, I guess what I was just saying is kind of in responsibility. I'm doing my best right now to work with my team, to work with the DC Council, to work with the bureaucracy that is just set up. The reasoning why I filled out my bill for you is actually a I think this is necessary. I know it might not apply to your college, you might not see a point, but there are lots of other concerns that are going to be. So it's not just people having to call, it's not just a couple of people in the assembly. There are a lot of people that actually work with that. I would say the same thing for any day. If the dean came here and only said two or three words, then I don't think they would be too long. But especially if you come here, because people are trying to get here, he's going to have something to say.
One of
them, what's that not the culture problem?
Yeah, so they get 2 minutes to close and then just because of
so I would really encourage all of you to college graduates as well as everybody to vote to move yes on this to help us all out
graduate to
move forward and help all to stay informed about the process.
Great. Alright, so I guess so what we'll do is all those community members with cards in favor of this resolution, please raise your hands. Please raise your cards. 1, 2, 3. All against? 3-1. Okay, so 2 votes are allocated towards nay. Is that right?
Towards aye, right.
Alright, so with the clerk, please call the roll.
Yes. Abstain.
Yes.
No.
Not here.
Yeah, he was. Abstain.
Yes.
No. No.
Just 10 to 4. 10 to 4 to 3, the resolution passes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. 13. Majority.
Okay. Resolution 52, resolution in support of the student statement on the right to research by Representative.
To afford. So the argument
on behalf of the New York Senator was basically that a lot of the research that's done by undergraduates and graduate students at universities around the nation is government funded, and then governments are paying for students to do research, so they're providing the funds. And then students do this research, and so they have a journal where other students have to pay large sums of money in order to have access to it. So, in general, the resolution is calling for support of the statement on the right to research, which is asking like a nationwide movement for students if they were to research or produce research that would be published in a journal, have it like a library, in the library today, have it be open access published instead of published in a private journal that other students have to pay for. And then in general, we like continue this movement that students from the nation would have access to free research materials as opposed to having to pay for them to do their dissertations or their thesis or whatever it may be. So this resolution was actually forwarded after passed by every graduate student university in the United States. And I just felt like it was something that affected undergraduates as well. I mean, I know seniors and juniors that are writing thesis that could use access to the same journals. And I spoke to the GPSA, got me in contact with the person that's organizing this at the state level. He said it'd be a great idea to implement it at the undergraduate level. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. If anyone has any questions, feel free to ask.
Yeah, just the plural of thesis is PT.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Representative Lucia.
So, what exactly are you hoping to accomplish?
So, in general, the resolution is hoping to accomplish a movement towards public, open access publication of thesis and applications from graduate students and undergraduates. So, basically, if a student does their research based on money that's government granted, they're encouraged by the university to publish it, basically open access, not publish it to a private journal. And that, in general, in the past, the knack against this was that, there was more claims and stuff that was done, that was published in a private journal or whatnot, like if you put it on your resume or apply to grad school or wherever it may be, and the whole notion here was that it became like a countrywide movement towards making like open access and those types of papers or those types of research, that type of research, if accepted by the university, would be deemed a stronger life.
So, applauding this is in support of something that hasn't been put in order yet?
No. It's already begun to start. The university opened up the, began talking about open access last year.
So then why are we making
the whole point is that graduate students have done this and undergraduates haven't. So the reason why it's passed is
the GPSA.
They did.
So I guess, my kind of, at least playing the skeptic, my doubt here for this resolution is, other than these journals being money grubbing, whatever, why are they charging money for subscriptions? I mean, I assume it's probably because these journals are pretty expensive to run. So my question again is, what exactly is this right to research statement asking? Is it going to mandate that all journals are open access? What exactly is it going to do?
And that if a student is getting money from the government to do their research, then that research specifically should be open to all their students. So it's not saying that if a scientist or a physicist, does Nobel Prize research and publishes it in a journal, then everyone should have free access to that. But if that is, if I'm a student and I'm already using taxpayer money to do my research, then another student has to pay more money on top of that to see my research, that should be public access.
So I guess I mean, unless other people have questions, I'll withdraw the motion, but I'd like to motion to table until next week, when you can hopefully include the actual statement that we're endorsing, just because I'd like to actually have read it before I endorse it as an assembly member. But does anyone have any questions they want to ask now?
Well, I'm not sure what this is the exact wording that they've forwarded to all the GTSA around the nation that they wanted to get published.
No, I know.
Point of order, isn't this new business, so we don't vote on it until next
no,
year?
No, right? It is, but there were people who had suggested moving it to the day.
Okay,
but,
so still on the question period, though.
Yeah, no, we are. But so basically, I would encourage those people not to make that motion. I guess I'm going to go ahead and motion the table, and I would ask that you include the right to research statement as an attachment, as an addendum next week.
Alright. But there's been a motion to table. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Can elaborate. What do you want him to attach?
Is there a separate student statement on the right to research, or is this it?
This is the basic. As far as I'm concerned, this is
when
I emailed
them,
when they
emailed
me.
Okay. You still
on the table? When you have the first be it therefore resolved clause where you're asking us to endorse the student statement on the right to research, this statement is circularly referring to the same resolution that we're passing.
I'll contact
them
again
in case
there's like a separate
document. That'd be great. So yeah, I'll continue my motion to table.
Sure.
I just don't feel like there's any point to ask questions if we don't know what we're dealing with.
Okay. Next week it will be unfinished business, so we would be able to. So I guess I'll go ahead and table it if that's okay with you. Yep, thanks. Now, two charter amendments. First, Resolution 54, removing the charter test for FA members, Parliamentary Cohen and B.B. Kumar. Any questions?
Can we move this to
No, we can move the charter. Soon you will be, though. Wait till next resolution.
I mean, that's the reason we're making this next change is because that's ill-advised to have it voting in the same day in the charter. So even though that's within our
we're actually changing that.
Even though that's within our purview, yes.
Okay. Any questions? If there are none, we'll just discuss this next week. Okay. You can go ahead and present the next resolution.
Which has representative candidate and effective
this resolution does change it to, you need to present it a week beforehand so that there is time for all members to review it, and charter amendments require a two-thirds of all members to accept it. In addition, there's no amendment currently for no amendment specifications for the bylaws. So add a separate section to the bylaws, basically making sure and standard apply to the bylaws for two-thirds of the members to accept. One other thing that it changes is under the way the bylaws are currently written, if there's a petition for 100, if there's a petition with 100 student signatures to amend the bylaws, then it gets automatically consented and the student company doesn't have the ability to actually amend that amendment. So this would enable the assembly to amend an amendment that was presented by the petition.
Yep.
So I think first of all, thank you about that as well, making such a hard way of trying. As well, thank you to all you guys for going to our device control and making sure that the student assembly is run as efficiently and as openly and as transparent as possible. This also allows the student assembly to sort of simplify the process by which the community members can get involved and make amendments to our charter.
Yeah, so this is the I guess question we've been wrestling with all year. So for 2.1 in the bylaws down below, for the first one we have two-thirds of the entire membership, and then for the bylaws we have two-thirds of voting members. So could you quickly clarify for me what exactly that means, Al?
You mean the difference between the two?
Yeah.
Well, you say it's voting members present.
Oh, voting members present, correct.
Yeah.
Okay. And would entire membership also include liaisons and parliamentarian, et cetera? No?
Maybe you should add voting membership. Yeah.
So I guess I suggest that only an amendment to the entire voting membership.
Or you can do it for next week, because we'll be voting on it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so how do you reconcile the difference between the charter and the bylaws? I know at the beginning of the question, at the beginning of the semester or the year, we had issues with that. So could you address anything?
Sure. So I guess one of the biggest issues with the bylaws and the charter was that there wasn't any specification saying there was a different standard amended for the bylaws versus the charter. And the reason we split documents in half by having a charter set above bylaws is so that you have a set of rules which are easier to amend versus a set of more important government standards which are more difficult to amend. And potentially we give that standard to the bylaws and make it easier to amend than the charter. And essentially from a procedural point of view, there's a legitimacy for it.
And so currently, the assembly, we still have this designation between bylaws and charter. Just right now, it's at, they're both amended in the same fashion, correct?
Well, it's
so have we worked that out yet or not?
This year, the executive committee decided that it would be better to take the more conservative approach and apply the two-thirds majority to both bylaw and charter changes. But I guess we can, clarify it in wording later on, or it can be up to the discussion of that year's assembly every year. VP,
Just keep going.
So I have one more question real quick. So I guess what you just said, basically, that the whole concept is that the bylaws are easier to change because they're, more flexible, et cetera. Looking at the charter, does that make sense? Are the bylaws that we've written into the charter things that deserve a lower standard to be changed?
That is a very good point, which is why there's currently a charter revision group that will make a suggestion of how we can better
recognize that. Okay. Thank you.
And also another distinction is that President Scorton doesn't need to approve of bylaw changes. Representative.
So I just want to make sure that I'm completely getting everything right on. So if we have an amendment next week or the entire voting membership of the student assembly to pass. But if I want to amend the bylaw after Patrick's amendment, I would only need a two-third vote of the voting members present, right?
Okay.
So we're making that distinction in this amendment. Okay.
Great. Any other questions?
Yeah.
Did you answer?
And I guess, could you, is there a document, an easy way to, before we vote on this next week, just perhaps by email to send out the what would be considered the bylaws, what would be considered the charter? But and with the charter review committee, have you guys started working on that at all or not?
A little bit.
Okay. Don't think that. All right.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Seeing as how there's nothing up on the agenda, meeting adjourned.
Wow, what a home meeting.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.